everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/gabpod, G-A-B-P-O-D. Recorded September 8th, 2017, here's episode 58 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
You're sitting in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel, and sometimes home of the Universal Champion, the Donald. It is
Friday, September 8th, about 8:22 a.m., day, let's say 231 of the Donald's Universal Championship reign.
So that's a good run thus far. He doesn't have CM Punk numbers, but...
No, he's putting up a respectable JBL-like numbers. We'll talk a little bit about JBL later on the show. Busy week. I was not in the country, but it's fun to see how the rest of the world, like I was in Prague, and people didn't like Trump there.
What?
They don't. It turns out they don't really like him here either, but I did see, I had tweeted this, that we were at the John Lennon Wall, not to be confused with the other Lennon Wall, went on, I guess, Monday, maybe I went Sunday, and there was just a regular old fuck Trump graffiti, and then he announced changes to DACA, and the next one time we went, it said Jesus was Mexican over the fuck Trump. So love Trump's hate, guys.
Okay, so was like the DACA announcement on the front page of the newspapers in Prague?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, was he front page news? Did you turn the television on at all when you were
there?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, okay. We were in a hotel that had CNN International, so it was Harvey and Trump.
Yeah,
it was tough to tell.
Okay.
But they also have, they've got their own things going on. They've got an election in October, so.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I mean, most international news does not dominate our coverage, so I was just wondering if it was the same.
Yes. So, yeah, I guess we can get right into this week's big show.
Well, it's a big show.
Which isn't Big Show, sadly. We will talk about him as well later in the show. A lot of speculation if Trump is in the midst of a face or a heel turn in the lamestream media. I saw, I guess, Sopan Deb, who writes for the New York Times, was saying that Trump just turned heel on the Republicans, and then Chris Cillizza wrote a piece with the same premise for CNN. We both tweeted about how people are getting it wrong, unsurprisingly. I guess if you're saying he's having a heel turn, then everything he's done until this point was as a face.
Okay, it doesn't even matter what side you're on for this.
Yeah.
This is teasing the idea of a heel turn or a face turn if you want to
do
it. You could say that. That's okay to say. But to do a true heel turn or a true face turn, he would have to blade in the middle of a meeting and then literally walk out with the Dems and caucus with them. That is not what happened.
No.
That's not going to happen. He's not going to do a true turn in any sense. He will just shoot from the hip and occasionally lay it in there so it makes it think like, hey, is this guy going to turn heel? No, he's just protecting the business.
Yeah, and even if you are Republican and you wear red hats and you like Donald Trump, I think the appeal is that he is a heel, that it's like,
oh, sure,
fuck you, I'm American, and you could still cheer the heel if you want. But yes, I agree. This isn't a real turn. I was trying to look for an example of a heel that like teased becoming a face and then
literally
immediately turned.
All of them.
Yeah, well, they tease it and then they immediately, I guess any Kevin Owens promo where he gets a cheer and then immediately turns it into getting boos. But basically this whole turn is about on Wednesday, Trump bypassed the congressional GOP, made a deal with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, or as in the outline says, Chuck and Nancy.
That's how the Donald referred to his new tag team.
Sid and Nancy. On the hurricane aid and debt ceiling, kind of kicking the football to December on debt ceiling and keeping the government funded.
Yeah, so this is not... He's just... So now Republicans have to vote twice for things people don't like.
Yeah, and
that's,
also...
Oh, that's the big victory.
He needed a win.
Yeah.
He needed a deal to make. He was getting a little antsy. He hasn't made any deals in 230-something days.
It's pretty clear that all these people that are saying this is a heel turn or a face turn don't watch the weekly episodes
of
Raw and
SmackDown. You got to watch the product to make these determinations.
Random people tag up for tag teams just because they want to get, they need programming, they need content, they're filling up the hour. That's all Trump was doing.
Yeah, like his tweet on Thursday that Nancy Pelosi said that she made him tweet, quote, for all of those parentheses DACA that are concerned about your status during the 6-month period, you have nothing to worry about. No action.
Okay, so that was confusing, and then it got clarified within 10 minutes.
What did he say after that?
He didn't say anything.
Okay.
That's it. You could read what Pelosi and her people
Okay,
said.
So she was saying, he seems super upbeat. One person familiar with the call said. Another person familiar with the call said Trump told Pelosi and Schumer their coverage was great, too. Pelosi herself bragged that she had gotten results after asking to tweet reassurances that Dreamers shouldn't worry about being deported over the next 6 months while lawmakers try to secure a DACA fix. I was telling my colleagues, this is what I asked the president to do, and boom, 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 the tweet appeared, she said at a news conference on Thursday. Boom, 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 realest tweet in the room.
That's not going to age well. If you're a Democrat and you think, oh, this is great, this is not good.
No, yeah.
This is really going to backfire.
Yeah, but for now, he's also talking with crying Chuck Schumer about getting rid of the debt ceiling altogether, which makes Paul Ryan cry. He had Heidi Heitkamp, a Democratic senator from North Dakota, on his plane. So, yeah, all these things. But I think the person who got it best was Senator Chris Murphy from the great state of Connecticut.
Man that we've talked about, I think, multiple times on this show.
Yeah, because he beat Small Business Administrator Linda McMahon in a general election. Quote, there aren't permanent alliances. There aren't governing philosophies. There's day-by-day seat-of-the-pants management. Take advantage of it, but do it with the full knowledge that Trump will be calling, you know, Chuck Schumer names on Twitter within the fortnight.
Who says fortnight?
Yeah, this is one of those scripted promos that just doesn't come off as real. But he did... Yeah, as soon as it said permanent alliances, all I thought of was Dangerous Alliance. Do you know the Dangerous Alliance?
No, I don't.
It was a stable, I think it was AWA, but then it was WCW. And in WCW, it was like Paulie as the manager.
Hence the name.
Yeah, Medusa, Austin was in it at one point. It was so yes, there are no Dangerous Alliances here. No great stables, just Dems and Republicans and Trump. Yeah, but we still don't know. I mean, all this does is like anyone celebrating it, like, we're still going to do this in 6 months, and we'll see what Trump's feeling then. Like with DACA.
3 months. We're going to do this in 3 months.
Oh, in 3 months, yeah.
Which is more impressive.
Oh, yeah. Got to get to the next big pay-per-view.
I don't think they should have added so many. It's just diluting the product.
Yeah, I agree. I have no mercy for all these pay-per-views. Because in a few months, we'll have to get to what do we do with DACA? What do we do with your favorite topic?
We are going to build a great border wall, you know, to stop illegal immigration.
Yeah, so the news is basically speculation, actually, not news, is that wall funding will be tied to any DACA fix.
Democrats clearly do not want this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Republicans don't care. The Donald might want to try to get his wall built via keeping people in and or out of the United States of America.
Yeah, you know, when I was in the Kafka Museum in Prague, yeah, this stuff is the embracing of irony. I like it. I think it's good storytelling.
So, yeah, this is clearly sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but you know, I think all the DACA stuff was happening as I was traveling. And definitely everyone's upset, and people on, not everyone, but people on the left were upset, and they should be. But this is exactly what he said he was going to do, right? This is who he's been the whole time.
It's sort of like that 71-year-old has had this track record of doing things he said he would do for his entire career. Most of them not very popular.
Yeah, and I think it's later in the outline, but I wouldn't mind mentioning now. I think that's, if you want to know who Donald Trump is and you're still confused, you should read The First White President by Ta-Nehisi Coates of The Atlantic, an excerpt from his new book. Yeah. I'm not even reading what you have in the outline.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Oh, I think the subhead should have been, Racism Works.
Yeah, it was a good electoral strategy. It definitely worked.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's I don't know if you guys know this. It's won every time.
Yeah, in America, because that's the bloody heirloom of whiteness. Which I mean, that's a really poetic phrase. I don't think anyone's going to be saying it.
It worked for Donald Trump. It worked for Bill Clinton. Why can't it work for everyone?
It works for Hillary Clinton. It worked for Bernie Sanders.
It didn't really work for Hillary Clinton.
Well, I mean,
she used it.
She used it. She just wasn't. She wasn't as committed to it, I guess.
She didn't live the gimmick as much.
There you go. Yeah, so anyway, a little tangent there with that article. You know, we were talking about breaking the walls down, and I think that's as good a time as any to talk about Chris Jericho, who's
his 50th new book, currently on the New York Times bestseller list. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's on a book tour right
people,
now.
Wrestling fans buy books. Wrestling books. That's the only books they read. They're not going to buy Ta-Nehisi's new book. But he was on Rich Eisen's show, and... they got into a little political debate. So here's that.
John Cena is like, I mean, he's turning himself into a bona fide.
Yeah, he's on the brink of being
comic actor right
legit
now.
Legit leading man, you know. But like I said, if you look through the guys, okay, so you got obviously The Rock, and Cena.
Excuse me, President Rock, potentially.
I have no doubt that that's going to happen at
Seriously,
some point.
Seriously, let's be serious. You think he's going to run
I do.
For president?
I think, not to get political, but I think we're in the era now of celebrity presidents. I think our current president got in because he knew how to work a camera. I think Rock knows how to work a camera better than Trump does and has much more charisma and much more likable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you look, you don't even need experience to be a president anymore. All you need to do is just like have the celebrity value. So I honestly think The Rock will run for president.
Jericho gets it. Celebrity presidents. He understands why Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be our next president.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, me too.
That'd be funny if it was like, no, I'm very serious about politics. I would never commingle.
The union will be crumbling. Who cares?
No, it already is, though. Yeah. Like, it can't.
Rock could actually make everything okay.
Yeah. The Rock can save you.
Do you think The Rock's going to have a problem picking one catchphrase?
No, he gets it.
What will the catchphrase be?
I haven't thought that far yet.
Will it just be The Rock says? His theme music is some of the worst.
Yeah, it hasn't aged well.
Yeah, he does threaten sexual violence 2 minutes into it.
Well, it was the era of ruthless... Well, it wasn't even ruthless aggression. It was the era of forcible entry, actually. This is pre-ruthless aggression. I don't know. We should think about that. That's probably the next piece we should write is like planning out The Rock's
timeline.
The timeline, yeah. And trying to get hired by The Rock's campaign. That's my goal.
Just so everyone realizes, Chris and I have college degrees. We actually sent the book that we wrote, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling, in September of 2016 to the Hillary Clinton campaign. We know people there. We sent it to the guy that ran the Florida office, and they laughed it off, being like, this is silly. Guess what happened?
Yeah, they're all unemployed.
Actually, no, they all have very good jobs fighting the resistance.
Or they work at Verit.
Could you explain Verit to me in like 30 seconds?
No, I was in another country and I chose not to. It's something basically proving that liberals are snowflakes. So
cool.
Not a snowflake, but a badass worm of a man.
It's time for our weekly NWO update.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Dennis Rodman, once again teasing that he can solve the North Korean-American conflict, quote, I just want to try to straighten things out for everyone to get along together, the former NBA star told Good Morning Britain on Wednesday.
That seems incredibly reasonable to me.
I mean, if anyone can do it.
I'm not joking.
Yeah. I mean, look at the two personalities that's coming down to. Is Rodman any crazier than the two leaders of these countries?
I'm going to go Rodman is the most sane. Have you read any of his books?
No, because I'm not from Chicago.
They're really fun reads.
I bet. He's had a hell of a life.
The first book opens with him about to swallow a shotgun.
Yeesh.
In the parking lot of like a San Antonio something. He was at the Spurs at the mm-hmm. time. And it was like right before he decided to like, screw it, I'm going to dye my hair. I'm going to be weird. I'm going to be as bad as I want to be. Plug for the book there. And before that, Pearl Jam lyrics.
Yeah, this book sounds great.
From the song Alive.
Is that what kept him alive?
Yeah.
Is that why he didn't pull a Jeremy?
That's why he loves Pearl Jam. I don't know if you remember this, but Pearl Jam would attend all of the Supersonics Bulls series games in like 90, 96 or 97? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 96. And that's why in his hair he had PJ.
Nice.
This is for Pearl Jam, which is very weird because 4/5 of that band wanted Seattle to win, but Eddie Vedder, because he's from Chicago, wanted the Bulls to win.
That's a good story. Have you ever watched Hype, the documentary from 1996?
I
watched it this week.
Why?
Because it was on my computer and it seemed like a good time.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it in like 18 years. I think it came out in like 98.
I think it came out like 96. Like
that's when I watched it.
Yeah, yeah. It's not fun to see how many other than the obvious ones like Kurt Cobain, who had already been dead at that point, but other people in that scene who are no longer with us.
So I was in Seattle two weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if I brought this up on the show. Not one Daniel Bryan shirt.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not.
That was.
People forget.
Come on.
They forget the S movement. I watched Total Bellas.
So did I.
Last night. Yeah, if this is going to be a JJ heavy season, I'm not watching it.
You know why they're doing the JJ. They don't have any other stories.
Yeah, no, there's no other story. John Cena doesn't.
John Cena is the greatest man.
He doesn't
of all time.
Want to move to Phoenix, which is totally reasonable.
The compromise is insane.
The compromise, he just shows up because he's John Cena.
They don't know why. When does he show up? Mention the specifics. Anytime John Cena has a 12-hour window of freedom,
yeah,
he will show up in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's John Cena's life doesn't sound great.
It sounds horrible.
Yeah, he's like learning Mandarin in his sleep, flying to Phoenix to see his girlfriend's stupid fucking family. It sounds horrible. And Daniel Bryan, I see one of the storylines this season is that Brie is really a bitch to her sister.
It's awesome.
She doesn't want John Cena to be her kid's uncle because he's got to put that ring on the finger.
Which makes sense. I'm with Brie.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan, he doesn't like social media, but he likes talking about his balls. I mean, these are all things we knew.
Also, Daniel Bryan also knows how to cash checks, so he's not an idiot.
No, he gets it. He gets being on the show, gives them money.
I love this show, and this is one of the few shows where I'm always enjoying watching, even when it's horrible, even when it's the JJ storyline, because mm-hmm. that's when I start to think of, okay, Nikki Bella's real name is Nicole Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I know that is because in WrestleMania, the most recent WrestleMania, Batista's front tattoo, John Cena proposes and uses her real name.
Mm-hmm.
But in the credits, it goes, executive producers, Nikki Bella, Brie Bella. Therefore, because it's the Bella twins, does Vince get a cut because that's his creations?
Yeah.
I understand that he gets a cut anyways because it's WWE production and Kevin Dunn is the producer.
He doesn't have like 360 deals, but there is.
Are you sure? I'm not joking.
Yeah, I don't
know. Does Vince McMahon have 360 deals? Has anybody worked in the music industry and WWE? Someone has to have.
John Cena.
That's true.
A rapper.
John Cena plays piano.
What do you want? What kind of wine?
You pick.
Oh, John. Yay, my love.
Yeah, it sounded like he was playing like the Final Fantasy theme, but it was just really sad piano music as he ponders the things in his life.
That's a transition that we need to mention about Global Force Wrestling.
Do we need to talk about Global Force Wrestling?
Yeah, just because John Cena played piano so I could play that clip of the Hardys, or Matt Hardy playing piano.
Sure.
Matt! Brother Nero, I knew you'd come.
It looks like Global Force Wrestling is in a bad place for Jeff Jarrett reasons.
It's always in a bad place. So Global
Force
Wrestling.
It's in a really bad place right now.
It's really not. It's just a continuation of the death of TNA. It really is not any worse than
that. Disagreeing whatsoever, yeah. But it seems like this right now, this week, is the closest they've come to dissolving and/or selling.
So I think.
Or am
I
being worked?
You're being worked. So here's the thing, TNA's fate is the same as like whatever Donald Trump is doing that day, where it's like, this is literally the worst thing that's ever happened to this country, but
no,
it's not.
Number one,
there's
this
a
is
new,
not,
bo- there's
this
a new
is
bottom.
Not the worst thing that's ever happened to this country.
No. What I'm saying is the way people react to anything Donald Trump does is, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. It can't get any worse than this. This is crazy. We're almost a nuclear war with North Korea. Our cities are being washed away, etc. It always gets worse. TNA, this is the worst thing. The company's not going to exist anymore. There's always a new bottom. And for now, it looks like is that they rebranded their belts with Jeff Jarrett's fake company, GFW, and then didn't actually have a deal with him. And so they're going to have to go back to their old belts or whatever. It's just all the same.
Okay.
There's a money mark there. The guy who is currently feuding with the Hardys and won't let them use their broken gimmicks. They're not in the new video game.
Really?
Yeah, which I wasn't sure if that was also a... Because they have their own likeness rights. It's their legit names. So weird. I don't know if that was just a... I feel like there's been people since Mania, but maybe not in the development process. But it's an ongoing... The TNA thing, it's an ongoing story. Also an ongoing story continues to be the Russia investigation. Remember that? The update this week is that Donald Trump Jr. did a 5-hour interview with Senate staffers. A quote from his statement was, to the extent that they had, they being the Russians that he met with, had information concerning the fitness, character, or qualifications of a presidential candidate, I believe that I should at least hear them out. So he's just doing what a good son would do.
This is great.
Yeah.
So this is what the best thing that you missed while you were in a different country.
Yes, and I did catch up. I did catch up on SmackDown Live. Seeing the lengths that Donald Jr. will go for his dad's love was... what a man will do for their father's love was basically the premise of Kevin Owens' promo.
I brought this up to you for sure. I think I might have brought it up to Semper Vivi and maybe even Jim Ross. Kevin Owens is probably the only one that could bring up the administration and get away with it. And he came real close.
He didn't mention his.
He didn't mention Linda.
He didn't mention Linda, but he, we can just play the entire part of the promo that's of note.
Are you? So you're telling me that the reason I'm not United States champion right now has nothing to do with you? Nothing to do with you. Of course, it has to do with you. Everything here has something to do with Shane McMahon because you make sure that's how it is. Yeah. Why do you need to do all these things to get the spotlight? Is it because your daddy didn't give you enough attention when you were a kid? Is that what it is? Is that why you're willing to do anything to be the center of attention? You're willing to parade your kids around here and make them dance during your entrance? Huh? Is that...
Do not mention my kids again.
What about jumping off the cell? Huh? Was that... Look, Dad! Look what I can do! I can jump off the cell! Look, Daddy! I can fall off really tall things and get back up! Look, Daddy! I can survive a helicopter crash! I'm gonna be real honest with you right now. Your entire family would have been better off if you hadn't survived that crash. Everyone. Your dad. Your wife. And especially your kids.
Oh, it's Shane McMahon!
I think this is even a better... work shoot promo than Roman and Cena.
No doubt. Because I highly doubt that what's his name? Jesus. That Shane helps write this.
Who are you, Vince?
Yeah, exactly.
What's his name out there? I don't remember.
I kept wanting to say Jared, but I was like, that's Triple H. Yeah. this is clearly all of Kevin Owens and maybe the staff, where the Roman Cena thing was clearly Cena helping Roman.
Right. And that one was all about like winking at the audience about backstage realities. This one was doing that too, but in a way that he said that he should have died in a helicopter crash. So, you know, crash the plane, Hulk Hogan. You know, I think it was a much, much better promo. I'm still
not
totally...
Hold on. You can't just allude to the greatest promo of all time. This is the Ultimate Warrior instructing Hulk Hogan what to do on the way to SummerSlam.
Into a nosedive, Hulk Hogan! Push yourself to total self-destruction. As you realize, Hulk Hogan, you are about to enter a world close to parts unknown. Hulk Hogan, look for a place to hide. Or do you, Hulk Hogan, face that challenge that may be more powerful than even you are, Hulk Hogan?
Glad we could always find a place for that in our podcast and in our hearts. I'm still not thrilled with a Kevin Owens. I mean, Kevin Owens and Shane is a match that's going to happen. It'll be in a Hell in a Cell. Shane will do something stupid like crash the cell. It'll be a good time. I don't know why we're doing this, but Vince will be on SmackDown on Tuesday so he can say Hell in a Cell and so he can get a big face pop.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you know where they're recording
the
on Tuesday?
Las Vegas, baby.
Which is probably for the best because all of Florida is in danger right now. Maybe Georgia, maybe yeah. South Carolina. There was an earthquake in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horrible time for weather. This is not a joke.
Yeah.
That's like, that was really the big show of the week.
Right. Well, it's still post-Harvey, pre-Irma. Yeah.
Are you worried, personal note, are you worried at all about family you have in Miami?
Well, no, they're not. No one's in Miami.
Near Miami.
Yeah, I mean, Florida, but here's the thing. Like, it is a historic storm, but you don't evacuate unless you're in a flood zone, and I really don't have many people in the flood zones. Everyone's inland. They're in houses built post-Andrew. You know, you worry. It's like, I was thinking about this today. It's the same amount of worrying you do. Like, don't you worry about, like, not every day, like, all-consuming, but, like, we're in Washington, D.C. Like, if there's another attack or a dirty bomb or if this North Korea thing goes sideways, I mean, it'll be a quick one, but we're probably a target if they can get it here, right? So, I mean, you don't live in fear every day. Like, anywhere you live, you know, you're in L.A., an earthquake could happen and a building fall on you. You know, like, anywhere you are, you're in Houston and now you have to swim to work. You know, I mean, like,
sure.
Shit happens.
I wanted to be serious and now I can make a joke about the whole situation.
Go ahead.
Speaking of earthquakes, it's
The Big Show.
There we go.
The not Big Show of the week, the Big Show of our hearts, Paul White. Had his third match with Braun Strowman on Raw this week. It was a cage match. Potentially his retirement match, and it, I think, very much should be.
It was a very fun match.
All of their matches have been great. They've been three of the best WWE matches of the year, like one of the best little feuds out of nowhere. Just something that shouldn't work as well as it did, just because Big Show gets it. Braun is like, he should be the face of the company right now. He's the most entertaining thing on the product. And also in this match, had a little poetic nod to Big Show's WWE debut in 98 when he, 99 at St. Valentine's Day Massacre when he came up through the middle of the ring during a Vince McMahon Stone Cold Steve Austin match, threw Stone Cold through the cage. In the end of this match against Braun Strowman threw the Big Show out of the cage. Yeah, it was great. And it looks like he's going to have to take, get some hip surgery. And at this point, at his age and the miles and with his condition and his body, it really, there's no reason to keep having to do this.
He was the last full-timer that was part of the Attitude Era.
Yes.
Because is Mark Henry still part of the company?
Yeah, but I think he's quietly potentially retired too. But yeah, Big Show is 45 years old.
Kane is gone.
Right. Yeah, Big Show is still out there, and they still had him in feuds this year and semi full time as anyone is, you know, as long as creative has something for you. So
we went from, the WWE Universe went from booing this guy about 2 years ago, a year ago, to completely embracing him and happy every time he shows up. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
I think because people realize the commitment that he doesn't, at this point, does not need to still be there. And he's still coming out, and he's gets it. And like the promo he cut was basically like, if you watch that before his match, I mean, he cut a promo that's like he understands like his role. He knows his role, as The Rock would say. And I think the fans get it. And the fans also know, I think Please Retire was when he was major parts of storylines and he was changing his alignment every week. And it wasn't the best way to use him. And this is the best way to use him. Have like a hoss battle where they're doing chain wrestling 1 week and they're breaking the ring the next and they're having a cage match the next is a great way to use a 7-foot giant. And I think, people realize when they do realize it's actually your retirement, people are, get a little nostalgic.
Why do you think Roman doesn't get Please Retire chance? Because it's too smart?
Because it's not. It's like so far from reality.
Yes, I know, but so what?
Wrestling is real.
How is CM
Roman
Punk,
Reigns is
how
not.
Is CM Punk chant any different than a Please Retire chant to Roman?
Because there's a bigger chance of CM Punk returning than there is of Roman Reigns retiring anytime soon.
I want to make it very clear that I am a big Roman Reigns fan. I love vests, and I love dads that love their children.
Yeah.
Roman does both, or at least appears to do both.
Root for Roman. He's going to beat Cena, who's taking a vacation again after No Mercy. And, you know, this will all keep
spinning
on.
Whatever he needs to do to film more Total Bellas, I am in.
Yes. Someone who won't be there, maybe with the Big Show also on the shelf, is JBL, the patron saint of this podcast and our book. The man whose heel run presaged the Donald Trump campaign.
JBL is one of those guys that slowly became champion, mm-hmm. seemingly out of nowhere, mm-hmm. and maintained this level of success that makes no sense. In addition to being a WWE title holder for like a year, mm-hmm. his run was very long, he then proceeded to become an announcer for multiple years. His wife was one of the people that predicted the housing bubble burst, and he's a Fox Business contributor. Thus far, the only professional wrestler that Donald Trump has retweeted in 2017.
Yeah.
It's a weird life.
It is a weird life, and just as we mentioned earlier, he had a 280-day reign before being unseated by John Cena, who also had a 280-day reign. Yeah, no, JBL's like a quick bio on JBL, just like going from his early years, them trying to find a gimmick for him as like the new Blackjacks, just all these basically doing Stan Hansen cosplay, and then the Acolytes as part of like the Undertaker stable, and then become the APA, Always Pounding Ass, a production agency, just which was massively popular. And then, you know, kind of in the mid card for a little while, but then he goes away for a minute, comes back as JBL, as embracing his real background in business and stuff, and becoming this what's the character from Dallas? J.R. Ewing. Yeah. And coming back and just, yeah, having this a great run. Not a great wrestler at any point, but great promo, knew his character, lived the gimmick, and pretty much
the foundation for the current Trump character we have, the current Donald version. A lot of people think Million Dollar Man. A lot of people think Vince. It's not Vince. It's not that. It's JBL.
Yeah.
There's a chapter in the book about JBL. JBL also liked to flirt with Nazis,
mm-hmm.
like the Donald.
Yeah. He did a goose stepping to get some heat while in Germany, which is illegal in Germany. Did not get fired. Got fined.
He hunted down quote unquote illegals at the border on SmackDown Live. Or SmackDown, I apologize.
Yeah, no, I mean, we did this in our presentation at the American History Museum, and also it's in the book, but the opening promo of the Donald campaign when he said all Mexicans are rapists, that...
He lifted that.
It sounds exactly like a JBL promo. So, I mean, there's definitely that strain of Americana, as Vince would say, connecting JBL and Trump.
If you want more... info about that, go to Donald Trump as a wrestler, presidentwrestler.com, buy the book. But there's one other guy that we should mention whenever we mention JBL and Trump and the foundation of it. It's like 80% JBL, and then the other 20% is probably Zeb Coulter.
Yes, who is doing a basically like a Don't Tread on Me Tea Party gimmick in the early 2010s.
And we know about that Donald actually witnessed this, because that was the WrestleMania where Zeb was representing... Who was he representing?
Jack Swagger.
Jack Swagger against Roberto Del Rio in New York/New Jersey in 2013, just after Hurricane Sandy. That's the episode the WrestleMania that opens with Chris Christie saying how we're all united as a nation. Anyways, Trump personally said to Coulter at that Mania, I love that gimmick, or I love that idea, and then he just took it all.
Yeah. He just took it all, and Zeb was like, you know, this will work, right? But Donald didn't, and now he's president. So JBL is done. It's good for the product because he gets replaced by Corey Graves. Graves and Phillips, I think, are a really great team on commentary and will really help SmackDown kind of get back to being the A show. It's bad for this show because it's a connection other than the president tweeting his own wrestling gifs. It's one of the connections that, you know, was fruitful for us, but not sad to see him go. He's a bully. JBL is not worthy of the company, and Mauro Ranallo is. So that's good for if you believe in the WWE's anti-bullying campaign, it's a victory for you.
One final note. It is currently September, which means the WWE all month will be trying to raise money for pediatric cancer research, which
Connor's
is
cure.
A very noble thing to do. It's just a little weird. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just a little weird to watch a promo of John Cena and Roman Reigns going at it, and one guy saying, "Hey, your zipper is down," and then the other guy going, "I got a big dick."
For gosh sake, you come out here with your zipper open.
I busted it, actually. Big dog.
Oh, sorry. I was just looking for your balls, but you ain't got none, so it's okay.
You would be looking for those.
And then about a minute later, seeing all of them trying to speak about how a young boy changed all of their lives, and they're raising money. And it's adorable, and it's great, right. And it warms the soul. There's just a little bit of a disconnect there.
Yeah, Owens goes from literally saying you should have died and left your kids as, you know, fatherless, and then cuts it backstage. He's wearing the Connor's Cure shirt. Yeah, it's a pretty rough 2 months if you know the WWE is full of shit, because, like, Connor's Cure for a whole month and then fucking Komen for
Susan G. Komen
for a whole month. It's a rough time to watch wrestling if you know that they're full of shit.
Who's they?
Everybody.
Okay. See, I don't mind the Connor's Cure one whatsoever.
Okay.
Susan G. Komen has got a lot of problems. For more on that, follow CM Punk on Twitter.